I'm going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, 1 through 10. This will be the third time I am coming to you. By the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word shall be established. I have told you before and foretell as if it were present the second time. And now, being absent, I write to those who have sinned before and to all the rest that if I come again, I will not spare. Since you seek a proof of Christ speaking in me, who is not weak toward you, but mighty in you. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you are disqualified? But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Now I pray to God that you do not do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that you should do what is honorable, though we may seem disqualified. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. And this we also pray, that you may be made complete. Therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness according to the authority which the Lord has given me for edification and not for destruction. Let us pray as we open the Word. Lord God, again we ask that you give us insight into what Paul is saying here, saying not only to the Corinthians, dear Lord, but to us. For it is for our edification. And Lord, we ask that the very words that were said by Paul were the very words that were given to him by the Spirit of God, that we might, Lord, be drawn closer to you, that we might, through them, Lord, be established in you just that much more. Again, we thank you. We praise you and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. It starts out, this will be the third time I am coming to you. Actually, he came twice. There was the one time he intended to come. And as we see here, as we put this together, we'll find out what problems that has caused Paul. As I began looking into this verse and study it, I came to realize that the words of the apostle, which were directed towards a particular people, the church at Corinth, these words of wisdom could be directed to all of those that oppose Christ. And that, my brethren, are those that do not embrace him. And not just the church in Corinth. We became aware the apostle has threatened to come and punish disorderly members by these verses that we read. Members of the congregation, once before he had purposed to come, and this now the third time, allowing his enemies to conclude that although this second trip had to be postponed, his words were strong and his threats powerful, and his actions and thought showed he feared, they thought, to execute them. For this is how they perceived and viewed his absence on that second trip. Our natural tendencies are such as if there be restrictions placed upon us, whether by family, by society, or a government, or the church. We work towards the outer limitations of these restrictions, especially if the ruling power is not obviously present. And this is the case here with Paul and the church of the Corinthians. Here we find the church is questioning Christ's teachings, embracing possible deception of the true gospel, which Paul and the other disciples had delivered to them. Paul asked them to examine themselves to ensure that they are not reprobates. His assurance of punishment due would be carried out and none would be spared. And how would they know he could do this? They would know that he comes in the power of Christ by the punishment he would inflict. It seems a strange way to show that he is within the realm of Christ's power to inflict punishment. But as we go through society and that we live in, and when we go look back through history, that seems to be the most obvious way that authority shows that they are in charge. The very Christ who was once crucified, whose very cause was to come in obedience to the cross, not in word power, but in meekness, and receive the sins for sinners, for your sin and for my sin. How much heavenly power that must have taken to think of the cup of propitiation for each sinner. For mine, if I think back of the many sins and those that I can't even remember, and for the world, for those that he's been called, has called to his kingdom, for each one. We cannot even begin to imagine, for it had to come from him alone. God the Father, at that time, had forsaken him. Because he is a just God, holy and true to himself. Sin had to be punished, as his word reveals to us through scriptures. Paul continues, he says, he will judge by two or three witnesses, testimony to support each charge and every accusation, every accusing statement that might be sustained, Paul reverts to the Old Testament law here, Deuteronomy 19:15. One shall not prevail against any man for any crime or any wrong in connection with sin he commits. Only the testimony of two or three witnesses shall a charge be established. Paul and the disciples do not disregard the law of the Old Testament. Only where Christ has fulfilled it and where his ministry makes the old law plain do we make our changes, and only according to Christ's revelation of those things. Paul then repeats what he had said before. I told you before that I would not spare any offenders. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Let us just turn there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Paul speaks of those arrogant spirits who were counting on Paul not coming. Their pride, their pretentiousness clouded their reasoning, and he leaves it in the hands of the Lord. If the Lord is willing, not only the permission of his going to the church in Corinth, but also the inner intent of their arrogant spirit. Is there talk but talk only, or the true force of moral power of their soul? Is that of God's kingdom? Paul's grace is truly that of Jesus Christ. Shall I come with the rod of correction or with love in the spirit of gentleness? Paul gives them ample time for repentance and correction and makes it plain that the offenders will be punished. They will not escape the sin that they have caused in this church and the controversy, as he deserves to be punished. Paul reminds them he was with them once before and wanted to go another time, but he had been disappointed. He wasn't able to come. The first time was on his return from Athens, Acts 18:1-2, when he met Aquila and Priscilla. Paul tells it out plainly. To all who have sinned, all the offenders in this church, those who thought if he did not come, he did not come was because he didn't want to address the situation, but also, and if he comes, that he would not dare punish those in the church, not to the extent that he had mentioned. They who took great liberty and pursued their own desires, regardless of the authority and the commands. He said, I will punish them. Paul begins to address their questioning of his authority by some. Paul, as the apostle, they had demanded evidence of his divine authority. And it comes in a way that no one would expect, in the manner of just punishment on the offenders. This should be abundant proof that Christ spoke by him. As he writes, which to you is not weak, but is mighty in you. Christ is not weak. Wake up, sinners. Wake up, church. Wake up, America. Christ has manifested his power abundantly toward you, either in miracles that have come in his name, or by disease, or by calamities which you have suffered on account of your disobedience and offenses, or by the force and effectiveness of his doctrine. Wake up, Corinthians. Paul refers to those who will continue to suffer if they do not repent. And wake up, America. We will continue to suffer if we do not repent. For though he was crucified through weakness in his human nature, an appearance of weakness that he did not put forth the power to protect his own life, yet he liveth. He is not dead. All too often when we talk about Christ, I find I speak of the people speak of him as someone in the past, of his past accomplishments, of his past miracles, of his past presence upon this earth. But hear it and hear it well. Christ liveth. He is risen, and you are dealing with an almighty power. Paul asserts now to the Corinthians, for we also are weak with him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. God is capable because he lives, exerting his great power. Though Paul and his disciples and his spirit, they preach the gospel, and through this gospel, with godly success and miracles, which are caused by and in the power of his name, was presented for all to see before the people of the area, including Corinth. There is a living Redeemer in heaven, one who is able to exert that great power, as when he walked upon this earth, when he healed the sick, when he raised the dead, and removed the evil spirits from the afflicted. And although Paul and his company are subject to infirmities and trials and appear to have no power, as they have brought contempt upon them, especially upon Paul, and Paul reminds them, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. They will witness these detractors of the gospel and enemies of Paul, the power of God, for he is alive in him. Christ, as Christ is alive, they are invested with the power that will inflict punishment which he had threatened. Christ exerts his power and punishes sinner, so through him and his power will they punish those in the church of Corinth. In verse 5, he tells them, examine yourselves. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, and 11:28, he exhorts each man to examine himself. Search himself. Let him see if he has the proper qualifications. But the word Paul now uses is a stronger and much durable word. The word that he used before is to prove yourself. It's the same word as that one that is one who needs to show that I am one with a document, or I am one by nature. But here, it is a word that requires you to prove yourself as assaying metals by the powerful method of heat. Paul Fry spoke of that this morning at the, I believe it was the Bible study, where when you bring your metal up to a certain temperature, you skim off the dross, the worthless part, and you keep skimming it off until you see your own reflection in it, and then you know it is pure. Paul is telling them to make a most thorough test of their faith, to see if it would stand the test, because every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work and what sort it is. Paul encourages us to lay a foundation in Christ. In his letter to the Corinthians, he says, for this is the only work that will stand that test, which the tests which are to come. Therefore, there must be faithful examination of our hearts and the acting out of our thoughts and feelings in comparison with the Word of God. This leads us to the question, as it should have to the Corinthians, just how can I adequately prove myself and my beliefs and my application of them? Paul is telling them and us to bring them to a testing in the playing field of life. Go and put them to use. Let them be buffeted by the trials and endure afflictions and the schemes of men, the plans of corrupted thinkers. Let them bring to task sinners and fools alike. Let his convincing arguments of repentance for the sinners and love for his brethren try his faith. It is not enough to compare oneself with the Bible and to look at his own heart, as important as that might be, as that first testing we were mentioned. Let him test his beliefs as he would anything else. How? Not only by experiment, but by example, the example of the Master himself. As obedient children, not fashioning according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he would hath called you is holy, so ye be holy in all your manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in reverential fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with the corruptible things such as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the pure, precious blood of Christ, as of the Lamb without spot. Peter set the benchmark for our example. Now, spell it out for the Ephesians, chapter 5. Walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us, for an offering and sacrifice to God for the sweet-smelling savor, but fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becoming cometh of a saint, neither filthiness nor foolish talk nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving thanks, submitting oneself to prayer. Live moderate and be steadfast in trials for Christ's sake. Doing such things will reveal yourself, your character, your principles, your conduct. It will reveal with certainty if you are a Christian. Should there be any difference to determine a pattern of behavior on the subject of relationships of Christ than any other person, such as your husband, your wife, your son, your daughter, your brother, or your sister, your cousin? Paul thought not. In 2 Timothy 1:12, I know the hour I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed to him. Paul's message to the Corinthians. The purpose of it all is this, that they should change their ways They should consider their faulted stand and correct it. Even better, before he comes to them, they should consider their ways and turn their feet to obey God's testimonies. As we all are encouraged by Psalm 59, the whole purpose is to draw the wanderer from untrue teachings back to the solid foundations laid in Christ Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We should ignore all that which distracts us to Jesus. Jesus is the source who gives us the very first incentive for our belief, and the one who will bring it to maturity. Jeremiah exhorts in the Old Testament to examine our ways and to return to the Lord. The very purpose is to bring us to a closer relationship with our Lord and to repair our relationship that has been defiled by careless actions and the disregard for God's precepts. For each of us will have to bear his own load of oppressive faults. Therefore, let us take instructions from Paul, the others mentioned, for God will not be mocked. Self-examination of ourselves prayerfully. Oh, search me thoroughly, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked or harmful way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. If you are being drawn to God's Word, you find yourself increasingly interested in what He has to say, that you have not been satisfied with all the things of this world has to offer, and each world accomplishment leaves you with unfulfilled desires of heart and mind unity, knowing that something is still lacking, that completeness and peace that only the Holy Spirit can provide, call upon the Lord while there is still time, while He's still near. Call upon Him as a sinner in need of redemption. Only He can offer. Repent of your sins. Turn to Him for forgiveness and a new life, and He will no wise turn you away.